All right, thank you for that. I know I can see the clock up there, and I don't like to have a long service just to have a long service. And there's a time around I like to try to get out, and so I know that it's late this evening, and I will not be long, and I planned on that because I knew that we're having the Lord's Supper, but I do want to share something with you tonight. I think it's very, very helpful, and I think it goes along with the Lord's Supper. We are in a series on the book of Psalms. We're calling the Songs of Life. Of course, the Psalms were a songbook, and they're also scripture and truth, and so we can learn from that. And I think if you understand anything about these verses, you kind of know what we're going to talk about. These verses have to do with thankfulness and being grateful to the Lord, because there is nothing worse than a lack of gratitude, a lack of thanksgiving. On September 8th, 1860, I was not there. Raul was. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning. A steamship called Lady Elgin collided with a schooner named Augusta in the very frigid and cold waters of Lake Michigan near Waukegan, Illinois. The Lady Elgin was carrying more than 300 passengers on a round-trip sightseeing tour from Milwaukee to Chicago. The captain didn't realize how bad the ship was damaged, and he continued towards Milwaukee in the dark of night. About a half an hour later, the ship quickly tore apart. Most of the crew and passengers died. There were some in the water that were clutching to small pieces of wreckage. Many were holding on to floating debris for long hours in the cold water. Some reached the shore only to be pulled back by the breakers. 17 people were saved that night by a Northwestern University student named Edward Spencer. He was a ministerial student back in the days when colleges like that actually produced ministerial students. He battled the breakers for 6 hours. He was a very experienced swimmer, so he tied a rope to his body. He would swim out and grab somebody, and someone from the shore would help to pull him and the person who was really in the process of dying back to the shore. He did it for so long that after he was done, he was exhausted. He could no longer go back out. After he was in the hospital, because it did some very, very heavy damage to his own body, his brother went to see him. And he told his brother this. He goes, "Will, did I do my full duty? Did I do my best?" This tragedy played on his mind for the rest of his life, and it wrecked his health. On his deathbed, again, talking to one of his relatives, he said, "Tell me the truth. Did I fail to do my best?" But the saddest part of that story is this. He had told, I believe it was his brother, that not one person whom he literally wrecked his body to save ever came back to him and thanked him for what he did. Not one. They weren't grateful. This psalm we know well. It's a psalm of praise. They believe that this psalm was used in the Second Temple in conjunction with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a theme that's repeated well throughout the scriptures. It's a very simple subject and a very well-known one. And that's what we're going to talk about in the few minutes we have tonight. As a Christian, there's one thing we can always be, and that is thankful. Any amount of spiritual understanding on our part should lead us naturally to be thankful. Thankfulness does not depend on circumstances. Although when circumstances are good, it's a good time to also be thankful. But what if circumstances aren't good? It's still a good time to be thankful. It doesn't depend on God's blessings or God's gifts in our life. Although, you're probably thankful in the last week. I'm going to say grandpa. I'm not trying to be, you know, I just don't like Lolo. I don't know. Do you like Lolo? It's your language. I mean, it's okay. You're probably a lot thankful. Nick's got had a smile on his face. He's thankful. He's a dad. The kid has way too much hair. Way too much hair. I don't trust babies that are born with a full head of hair. Okay? Something is wrong. Just kidding. She's adorable. Not like her dad. It doesn't depend on, but it's okay when God does give us extra blessings and God does give us extra gifts to be thankful. But the biggest test of thankfulness is when circumstances aren't going well or when we don't seem to be seeing God's blessings and gifts, although they're always there, if you know what I'm saying. By the way, things could always be worse. Let's just say everything goes bad. We're still saved. Amen. We're still going to heaven. Amen. And when we get there, this time on earth, no matter how long or how short it is nothing compared to eternity. And so we can always be thankful. We looked at the Lord's Supper tonight. There's many reasons, and I mentioned them. We wanted to reflect on what Jesus went through for us. We wanted to remember what Jesus did for us. We wanted to reconcile our life based on what Jesus did for us. But you know another reason? We wanted to rejoice in what Jesus did for us. The reason we don't rejoice is because sometimes, and I do it and you do it, we just don't think about it. We sit at home sometimes and we see dinner and it's like, that's not what I want. Be thankful you have dinner. Sometimes the kids are over, you know, and they're eating dinner or something, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. It's undercutting their parents' authority, but it's like, you know, they'll put vegetables on their plate. It's like, now you have to eat your vegetables. Now, I want to be a good Lolo. So sometimes their parents will turn their back, and I'm like, hey, and I'll take one of their broccolis and eat it for them. Say, why do you do that? Because I wish I would have had a grandfather that did that for me back when I was a kid because I hated broccoli. Okay? You know, just trying to be. But thank God they have something to eat. Amen. Now they push it. There was one of the kids. There's, hey. I'm like, I'm full, man. Quit pushing your food to me, all right? Get over it. Thank God we have food. But this text tells us several ways, and I won't spend a long time on it, that we can be thankful. We can be thankful first vocally. In other words, our thanksgiving should be a vocal expression of joy. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, why does he say noise? Because he knows how some of us sing. Sounds like noise. But you know what? In his ears, that's a joyful noise because it's a noise of praise to him. Your neighbors may not like it when you sing. Your children definitely won't like it when you sing. And your spouse may not like it. But I'll tell you one person who does. God always likes it when we are expressive, outwardly vocal about our thanksgiving to him. That is not something we want to keep silent. There's a verse in Proverbs 27, verse 5. It said, open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, what is that saying? One of the things it's saying, it's better for someone to rip your face openly than to love you and never let you know that, to hide that. Well, I love God. It's just a personal thing. That's not what the Bible says. Well, my relationship with God is just between me and him, and I don't like to flaunt it in everybody. Can I just tell you something? That's not scriptural. Our praise is supposed to be vocal. It's supposed to be outward. By the way, we're excited when our football team wins or our basketball team wins or if you're a Christian, when your hockey team wins. Boy, you're vocal then. I've never seen someone at a, I like to go to sporting events. I've never seen someone at a sporting event that's like, well, I'm not going to cheer because my love for my team is between me and them. They act like maniacs. They act like nutcases. Anybody ever been to Canada? Yes, Tim Horton. Great hockey player and great coffee guy. They're a little more laid back, aren't they? Churches are. We're laid back because in Canada we don't do that. Listen, I went to a hockey playoff game many years ago. And I sat next to a guy and he was from Toronto. He said, I was in town. He goes, I wanted to come. The Kings were playing a Canadian team. He goes, I wanted to see the game. And we were talking about it. He goes, oh, yeah, in Canada, they are crazy about hockey. He said, the Toronto Maple Leafs, you cannot get a season ticket. He says, you have to get on a waiting list, and it's going to be a really long time. He told me that people put it in their wills when they die, their season tickets go to their family members. But that's a personal thing between them and Jesus. Don't give me that. Don't give me that at all. Let's be vocal. If we love Jesus and we're excited about it, we're going to say something. Okay, let's be vocal about loving Jesus Christ. Don't let people out there say bad. Well, you know, I just think it's blah, blah, blah. What do you think? At work, say it. I love Jesus. Don't be a knucklehead about it, but don't be afraid. I'm a Christian. Let's be vocal. Also, there's a physical aspect. Look at verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. We physically serve God gladly as a way of being thankful to Him. Now, I know some people will serve the Lord. It's just like, I got to do it. And I'm pretty sure it's not exciting to take a shot in the nursery. Because it's funny. It's the time that you have the kid in the nursery that the wheels fall off the diaper, if you know what I'm saying. Right? My wife was in the hospital one time. She had the baby, and I came home, and I was watching the kids. And I won't say which one it was. But when I went to wake up the baby one in the crib the next morning, they had a major explosion. And it was all over them. It leaked out of the diaper. It was all over them. It was all over the... It was bad. And I don't do good with that. I walked in, and I'm like, I'll be back. And I ran out of the room. I'm like, went there and took the diaper off, threw it in a bag. I ran out. Fortunately, they didn't move. And I ran out like, all right, 2 minutes later, you know. I ran in there and I like, you know, I ripped out all the sheets and all that. We probably should have washed them, but I just threw them away. By the way, before I did that, I went down and tried to get my sister-in-law because she lived next door. She was gone. I'm like, man. But I understand. Some things aren't, you know, early Sunday morning, you're driving the bus. Thank God for the bus drivers. You get an extra crown in heaven. I don't know what it's called, but it'll probably have a tire on it. But you get an extra. But it's not. Sometimes the kids are just, you love them, and they talk too much, or they're brats and all that. I understand all that. But, you know, if we're excited and we're thankful to God, we will serve Him with a thankful and glad heart that we get to serve Him. Do you know there's some people that physically can't serve Him? They want to. If they had an opportunity, they'd be out parking or singing in the choir. So, look, I would love to sing in the choir, and I did before, but it's not because I could sing. It's just that I had to up their game when it came to looks. So I thought, I can do that. But I would love to be able to sing, to get up here, you know, and sing a solo. I'd probably make a CD with my picture on it. You know? Be proud. I can't do it. But some of you can and you won't. Okay? But whatever it is, let's serve Him with gladness. We serve the Lord because it's a way of saying, you know what, Jesus, if you can do that for me, why can't I go do something for you? Why? And by the way, the way we do something for Jesus is by doing something for one of His children or somebody He wants us to reach. That's how that works. But do it gladly because you're not doing it. You are doing it for people, don't get me wrong. But ultimately, if you're doing it for Him, you're going to be able to go get through it. So do it physically. Thirdly, do it closely. It's a relationship thing. Look at verse 2 again. Come before His presence with what? Singing. Okay? You know what brings us into the presence sometimes? Singing. Singing. That's why singing is part of our church service. And I couldn't find it in this chapter, but so's giving, okay? We'll find that somewhere else. That's Psalm 175. I'm probably somewhere in there. But singing. You know, we just all just come to church, you know, and you know, that's just all stand in the back and talk or hang in the hallway or whatever. That stuff. Man, that's part of the service. That's why we sing out of the songbook here. You know why? These songs have some meaning to them. They have some meat, okay? This is not spiritual cotton candy, okay? You know, he's a good God. That's what he is. That's what he is. That's what he is. Ooh, that does nothing for me. Okay, and you probably know that song, and it's garbage. Or singing these hillside songs from people that believe that the nonsense is okay, homosexuality is okay, wouldn't stand up. And by the way, started by a guy, if you want to know, who's a pedophile. Just thought I'd throw that out. But we're singing their songs. Not here. I want something that has some meat. You know, it's just, I hear these songs, it's like, okay, I open the songbook and it's Christmas songs. We're not going there, okay? But they have some meaning to them. And it brings up, when we think about songs that have some meaning to them and we don't just sing them because, you know, we like the tune. Well, of course, it ministers to the flesh. You know, you want to do a little bebop or whatever. Okay, there's nothing spiritual about that. But when I can sing a song and the words hit me and it's like, man, that made me think about God. That made me think about what he did. You know what we're doing? We're coming into his presence. So let's make sure that you know, again, I've told you before, when I first came in, I'm like, man, I was listening to garbage music. And I'm like, I can't listen to that. That church music does nothing for me. I'm not going to listen to music. But as I sat in church and I'd hear the songs and we'd sing the songs, I started to get it. I'm like, that's good. That ministers to me. That speaks to me. Okay, so let's be very careful. I can tell what kind of Christian you are by the type of music you listen to. If you listen to non-Christian, worldly music, you're going to act like a worldly non-Christian. That's all there is to it. There is no way I can think about Jesus when someone's singing about their baby, ooh. Okay? And talking about hooking up with someone that they don't know. Can I get a witness? And by the way, you might want to watch the lifestyles of some of the people that sing this. Is that who you really want to? By the way, most all of them hate God. That's from their mouth, not mine. So what do you think their words are going to push? If you listen, you say, well, I listen to the contemporary Christian music. That's probably worse for you. Because now you have a watered-down Christianity. You know, I am so sick of equating God to, loving God to like a rock on the ocean. You know, ooh, I saw a rose bush. Who cares? Everything's about your emotions. Someone showed me a video clip, and it was a joke, and the guy is meeting with this Christian contemporary band, and it's like, here's how you create the song, and he had a little chart to figure it out. You got to talk about something that's very, you know, nonspecific, something that has to do with your emotions, something that has to do with weather, and it's like, it was funny, but you know how it was funny? Because it's true. It's so vanilla. It's so benign. It has nothing to do with any depth. I feel like I'm out on a, thank you for that, I feel like I'm out on an island. Listen to godly songs, songs that say things that are like, that got me, that's good. And it didn't get you because it made you feel, look it, you're not talking to I didn't grow up in the nursery, okay? When I was at the age of the kids in my school, I was down at the Long Beach Arena at rock concerts. And by the way, I felt it. Because the music hit the flesh. I didn't say, you know, I wasn't listening to whoever it was. Like, ooh, those words were good. Man, I didn't even know what the words were. And if I did know what the words were, they made no sense. But I felt it. And so did the 18,000 people that were there. But did nothing for me. Man, our Christian songs are good. And you ought to get into them and you ought to think about the words. It brings us into God's presence. Mentally, look at verse 3. Praise him mentally. What does that mean? Think about it, because our praise should be based on God's character. Look at verse 3. Know ye, okay, understand this, get it, that the Lord, he is God. For it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Thank God we did not come from monkeys. Can't I get a witness? Now, I've met some people. It's like, I don't believe in evolution for me, but hey, for you it might be true. Just kidding. I'm kidding. And by the way, everybody is so concerned about the environment. They're blowing that so out of proportion. Quit listening to that. But it always strikes me. Everything else evolved and got used to its new conditions, but we're going to ruin the world. Well, if we believe in evolution, won't we just conform to whatever's happening? They don't believe in that stuff. Okay? This microphone created itself. There was a electronics company and there was an explosion and they walked in after the explosion and there set a microphone. It started out as a diode. Like, come on, snap out of that. We don't come from animals. We are created in the image of Almighty God. Let's understand his character. Thank God he made us. You know what that means? He made us perfectly. And you just look at it, and I've read the books, and I don't understand half the things they say, but I get it when I read it, and as soon as I it's just, but the eye is so complicated, that could not have happened on accident. There's all these different things. You know, well, that started with the simple cell. There is no such thing as a simple cell. It is far more complicated beyond our wildest comprehension. Evolution is a fairy tale for adults, okay? It's Cinderella in a monkey outfit. But mentally, know ye that the Lord, he is God. We have a personal creator, which means he knows us personally. That is fantastic. I don't have to say, there's nothing to this life. It's depressing. I saw a video many years ago of, I think it was Stephen Hawking or one of the guys, Christopher Hutchins, these angry atheists. And it was talking about how in secular colleges, if the professors start to believe in special creation, whether or not they don't believe it's God, they just don't believe in evolution, they're losing their jobs. And here's this angry atheist who doesn't just believe there is no God. He thinks Christianity is dangerous. And they asked him, if a God did not create us, where did we come from? And here was his brilliant answer. Well, maybe a UFO from another land came and planted us on this earth. Wow. How many years of college did you have to go to get that? Hey, we have a real personal God who created us. Thank God for that. Let's thank him. This will help keep us on his place because we're his creation, we are his people, and really, the Bible calls us sheep. You know sheep are dumb? How many of you know that? That kind of puts us, I was listening to a guy preach one time, he was talking about sheep. He goes, sheep are dumb. He goes, when I grew up, we grew up on a farm. He said, and we had one of our sheep come in, I was a teenager, and I thought, I am going to scare this sheep to death. And he hid. And the sheep came around the corner and he did, the sheep, rolled, died right there. Died. But he was just talking about how dumb sheep are. And he goes, look, it's funny. He says, no sports team calls himself the sheep. The Dallas sheep, bah. You think if a football team was a sheep, they'd hike the ball and they'd all run different directions. Want to run backwards? God's trying to keep us in our place to say, listen, you're the sheep. Follow me. I love you. I know what's best for you. I'm a real God. Amen. Number five, we should praise him humbly. It's based on God's leadership. We are his people, and as we mentioned, the sheep, and the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep. So we can humbly come before him and, Lord, I don't deserve anything. Anything you give me is beyond what I should have. Listen, if you can breathe and you're upright and you're safe, you ought to thank God. Yes, you may not have everything you want, but you have everything you need. Yes, you may not have the skills or talent set that somebody else has, but you have the skill or the talent set that God has for you. We're not thankful. Fanny Crosby wrote many of the hymns in this book, many of them. Do you know she was blind? She wrote one of the hymns, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Because she said, when I get to heaven, I'll see finally, I'll know which one he is. But she was thankful that she could not see. She was thankful because it allowed her. That's a good attitude to have. But let's be humble. Because as we talked about this morning, we become selfish and pride takes over. And lastly, we should thank him considerably. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. In other words, we ought to think about what we're doing. We ought to always come before him with thanks. So often, and I'm guilty of it, so are you, I'm sure, we come before him when we have needs. We only come before him when something is right there and it's on our minds. And it's like, hey, why don't we come before him with thanksgiving? Even when we kneel to pray, even when we're asking for whatever it is that's on our heart, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But first, why don't we come with thanksgiving? Lord, you've given me more than I deserve. And Lord, you're so wonderful. And I know you're God. You are the creator. You've done everything. And Lord, I do have these needs and I trust you. Boy, God likes that. What's the point? The point is, let's be thankful. Look at verse 5. We come before him firmly, for the Lord is good. Boy, we understand his goodness. His mercy is everlasting. Thank God for that. I've told you so many times, if I was a God like the Mormons say, you lived on my planet, it would be misery. I don't believe in you, God. Who doesn't believe now? Okay? You know, God is just so merciful. I mean, really, I'm glad he does. You know, never pray this. Lord, give me what I deserve. If you pray that, let me know. I want to back away. Like, you know, I'm going to stand out of the way because you're going to get it. Okay? You know, and God doesn't give us what we deserve. And what he does give us, we don't deserve. You know, what we should get, we don't get. And what we do get, we shouldn't get, if that makes sense. But it doesn't happen unless it's in our mind and in our hearts. God is good. And when that's in our hearts, it is not that hard to say, thank you. Thank you. What's the Lord's Supper about? The Lord's Supper is about Jesus is good. Man, he died for me. I am saved and on my way to heaven. Not that I'm good. Not that I deserve it. Man, but because he is good. And we ought to tell him about it. You say, oh, that's vain. God wants. Hey, God deserves that. Because he is God. And you know, God responds to that. I don't know about you. If I'm going to do something for somebody, I'm going to do it something for somebody who's thankful. If someone comes up to me and they're not thankful, it's like, you brat, you ain't getting nothing. The grandkids come up and one says thank you, it's like, here, have two. The other one comes up and looks at you like, I try to help them because kids are kids, you know. I want water. I'm like, well, good for you. I'm like, you want water? What do you say? Oh, may I have water? Right? I'm just teaching them that. Look, God wants us to come before him recognizing who he is and what he's done for us. That's thankfulness. And I hope that we're thankful. You say, you know, maybe I haven't been thankful. Because a lot of times, we all are guilty again. It's because we don't stop and just think about everything we have to be grateful for. Let's all stop.